It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast. And it's time for an NCAA basketball update. It's Sweet 16 time.
Yes!
Hey, it's nice to be back after a week of spring vacation. My lovely wife, Mrs. Swamp Swami, and I visited the Mobile, Pensacola, Florida area for a few days last week. Alas, so did thousands of other spring break vacationers. And for those of you who prefer a peaceful walk instead of a dip into the Gulf of Mexico, the Gulf State Park in southern Alabama has miles and miles of paved paths and wooden bridges over the swampy areas. It was a lot of fun. We also toured Bellengrath Gardens one morning for my wife. But my patience was rewarded by having the chance to play 18 holes of golf that afternoon at the par 3 short course at the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail location in Mobile. Now, if you've never played one of the RTJ trail courses, go out and do it. The unique 18-hole short course in Mobile was a very pleasant 2 hours of golf on a very challenging layout. And on the return trip home, we made a half-day visit to downtown Laurel, Mississippi. No, we didn't see the hometown folks from cable TV, but the city's renewed downtown district is really special. And a free plug alert! We had a terrific lunch at a place called Wilson's Commissary downtown. Their plate lunches, about $9 a piece, were generous, tasty, and very filling. Woo! So we arrived home in time for yours truly to begin his annual television marathon of observing NCAA March Madness college basketball games. From Thursday at around 11 a.m. through Sunday night at 11 p.m., there were 48 men's basketball games played on 4 different television channels. And yeah, I probably watched parts of about 40 of them. Nearly everyone's men's bracket was kablooied by number 16, Fairleigh Dickinson of New Jersey. But their thrilling first-round win came over the most overrated basketball team in March Madness history, number 1 seed Purdue. Purdue is now 29-6 and sitting at home. The Boilermakers have now lost to double-digit underdogs in their last 3 NCAA men's appearances, so PU to Purdue. On the CBSSports.com website, you can check out that old Swamp Swami Sports men's bracket is now ranked number 940,000 overall. Wow. My men's bracket, where I selected the University of Houston to win it all, has just Houston and Gonzaga with a chance to win in the Final Four. My other 2 selections to make it to Houston's Final Four were Duke and Virginia, and they were both sent packing over the weekend. As for the women's NCAA basketball tournament, I am faring much better there. CBSSports.com has Swamp Swami Sports at number 335,000. I still have all 4 of my Final Four teams, LSU versus UConn and South Carolina versus Texas, alive after the first 2 rounds of play. In my previous pre-tournament post, the NCAA women's tournament usually has fewer upsets than the men's side. And that was generally true again in the opening weekends this year, except for number 1 seeds Stanford and Indiana on the ladies' side, both getting bounced in the first weekend. In the ladies' tournament, I picked LSU to win it all in the women's Final Four with a huge upset over South Carolina in the finale. You know, it's kind of hard to pick against LSU's coach Kim Mulkey. She's won 2 national tournament titles as a player at Louisiana Tech, and then as a coach, she took Baylor to 3 NCAA titles in 21 years in Waco. This week begins the Sweet 16 portion for both the men's and women's college basketball tournaments. So let's see who's on tap on the men's games for Thursday night. The winners, by the way, will play on Saturday. In the East region in New York City, it'll be number 4 Tennessee going up against number 9 Florida Atlantic. Now, the Vols took out Duke last weekend, while FAU sports a gaudy 33-4 overall record. This game will feature the defensive prowess of Tennessee against the run-and-gun 3-point shooting of the Florida Atlantic Owls. If 75 or more points are scored in this game, I do like the Owls' chances to fly into the Elite 8. The other game on Thursday night in New York City will be number 3 Kansas State against number 7 Michigan State. Now, K-State beat Kentucky in a battle of the Wildcats this weekend, and Michigan State down number 2 seed Marquette to get here. Though my bracket predicts Kansas State will win the game, Michigan State's experienced coach Tom Izzo could be the difference in a very close game. Now on Thursday night on the West region in Las Vegas, it'll be number 4 Connecticut going up against number 8 Arkansas. The Hogs took out number 1 seed Kansas over the weekend, and UConn hardly worked up a sweat in their 2 wins. Arky's frenetic style of play, though, is going to cause trouble for UConn. The better shooting team generally wins games like this, so I am not going to bet against the University of Connecticut in this game. The nightcap out west will feature number 2 UCLA against number 3 Gonzaga. After watching both teams play this weekend, UCLA should be the favorite. However, Gonzaga's coach Mark Few is still seeking that first NCAA title, and his All-American forward Drew Timmy wants it badly too. My bracket had already picked Gonzaga here, so I'm going to stay with the Zags. Then on Friday, the men's games will feature in the Midwest region in Kansas City, number 1 Houston going up against number 5 Miami of Florida. The ACC's lone remaining entry, Miami overly depends on the ACC Player of the Year, guard Isaiah Wong. Houston's forte is defense, so expect Miami's leading scorer to be guarded closely and double-teamed for much of the game. I think Houston, which was already my pick, is going to win the game with a little breathing room here, too. In the nightcap, number 2 Texas will play number 3 Xavier. Now, the Musketeers of Xavier struggled in their wins over number 15 seed Kennesaw State of Georgia and number 11 seed Pitt. My bracket already picked Texas here, and I see the Horns advancing to play against Houston in the regional final. On Friday night in the South region, games played in Louisville, it'll be number 1 Alabama going up against number 5 San Diego State. If you like defense, you'll love San Diego State. Holding both of their first 2 opponents to 52 and 57 points respectively, the Aztecs must hope that Alabama will become frustrated in a slowdown type of game. Now, my bracket already had Alabama losing to Virginia. I know, haha. And San Diego State losing in the first round. Boy, I blew it there. But I'd love to see the Aztecs pull the upset, but I don't think it's going to happen. I'd go with Alabama here. In the nightcap in the South, it'll be number 6 Creighton playing number 15 Princeton. Raise your hand if you predicted this matchup. I didn't think so. Princeton upset the number 2 seed Arizona in the first round and then beat number 7 Missouri of the SEC by 15 points in round number 2. The Blue Jays from Omaha took down number 11 NC State and then outscored number 3 seed Baylor 82-73 in the second round. The Princeton Tigers are a very tough defensive team and depend on their exceptional 3-point shooters. Creighton has 5 starters all scoring in double figures, plus a 7-foot center to protect the rim. Though I'll be pulling for the little guys of Princeton, the balanced attack of number 6 Creighton should lead them to victory in this contest. Well, what about the women? Let's talk about the women's March Madness update. The opening weekend of the first and second round action on the women's side was conducted on the home courts of the number 1 through number 4 seeded teams. That's 16 in total. That gave a huge advantage to the home teams, although 2 of the overall number 1 seeds, Stanford and Indiana, both lost in the opening rounds for the first time since 1998. As for the women's Sweet 16 basketball games coming up in a few days, all 8 of the contests will be played at just 2 venues, unlike the 4 arenas being utilized by the men. This week's Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games for the women are going to be held in Greenville, South Carolina and Seattle, Washington. The NCAA Women's Tournament Committee apparently wanted the first 2 weekends of play in their tournament to feature large crowds in order to pad their own wallet and to help ESPN with national TV audience. That's why the top 4 seeded teams last weekend all played at home in the first 2 rounds. Using that same logic, it probably explains why this weekend's round of 16 and Elite 8 games will be contested in just 2 cities instead of 4 like the men. The NCAA Women's Tournament Committee also just permitted the overall number 1 seed, South Carolina, to have another week of home cooking. The unbeaten 34-0 Gamecocks will be playing on Friday and perhaps Sunday in Greenville, South Carolina, just 100 miles northwest of Columbia. But why? If South Carolina wins both of the games played in Greenville this weekend, they will have played 4 straight games in the tournament within the home state of South Carolina before traveling to Dallas for the women's Final Four in early April. No other team, men or women, was afforded anywhere near that opportunity this year. In fact, the men's tournament committee piled the University of Houston, Texas, and Texas A&M all into the same Midwest region bracket to avoid having more than 1 Texas team in the Final Four of the men this year in Houston. So I think this is a really bad look for the NCAA Women's Basketball Committee. I'm not faulting Greenville or Seattle for winning the Women's Sweet 16 and Elite 8 tournament site locations. The NCAA holds competitive bidding for those site locations. The NCAA, though, let's remember, is a tax-exempt 501c3 organization, and they make a lot of money by holding those competitive bids for cities wanting to pay up for the right to host the men's or women's college basketball tournament games. The NCAA, by the way, also sets the ticket prices for each event, too. In order to win the rights to hold one of the basketball events in your city, you must ante up an incredible amount of cash and comply with a myriad of assorted minutiae furnished by the NCAA. But note to the NCAA, it's 2023, and it's past time for the organization and its Women's Tournament Committee to make some long overdue changes and put the women's event on equal footing with the men. The format of both tournaments should be the same, and that would involve taking some more financial risk, NCAA. In the short term, the NCAA might lose a little revenue by moving the early round games of the women's tournament to regional sites just like the men do. These two basketball tournaments generate a massive amount of revenue for the NCAA, and that's why I don't think that you will see any changes to the women's basketball tournament format anytime soon. If today's model is generating the most net profit for the NCAA, they're going to continue to keep using it. So sadly, today's home cooking women's tournament will continue to lag behind the men until both events are conducted on the same footing. Enjoy the games this weekend. I'm Swamp Swami.